This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulillah wa ba'd. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Tonight is a different night in that we are starting at an earlier time. Normally we start at 7, but we're starting now early because of the change in the weather. Second point is that I am struck with the flu, right? And I'm struggling to be able to teach the class, inshallah. You know, this is how this bronchial seasonal change thing is hitting everybody. Your congestion and your voice and, you know, whatever. In any event, our class is not supposed to be a lecture on a big auditorium. It's really a new Muslim corner to try to explain certain issues dealing with what new Muslims will face in entering into Islam. And then also those who are reviving their faith, what they can actually learn, you know, about Islam. Because for the most part, and I found in the communities here in the West, that maybe 90% of the Muslim community learned their faith from their family. It was more of a cultural thing. So it was like what you do on special occasions and the food that you eat, you know, your body language. It's more of a culture. But in terms of what we actually believe, in many cases, that was not taught to the community, because the communities in the West here especially didn't have access to knowledge. And so therefore, even though this class appears to be for new Muslims, and it is, the average Muslim in our community will get great benefit out of this, because maybe they never even conceptualize some of the ideas that we are talking about. And so we are looking at the sections of Iman, of faith. And the Prophet ﷺ told us that to believe is to believe in Allah, His angels, His books, His messengers, and to believe in the last day. And the final point is the will of Allah, which will be dealing with inshallah, and we have reached Yawm al-Akhir, that we should believe in the last day. And this concept, being a Muslim and having this concept, changes your understanding of the world. And it's so interesting because many people watching the Palestine situation, they are amazed, you know, at the resilience of the Palestinian people, even though they're losing their children and they're in a very difficult situation, they still continue on, and they seem to be getting strength. So many people are saying, like, where did they get this strength from? Where did they get it from? So that strength is the faith in the heart, but it's also knowledge. Because in a concentrated community, like people in Gaza and parts of Palestine, you'll be surprised to know that they have one of the most educated communities in the Arab world. The percentage of young men and women, people who are actually college educated, it's amazing. And in terms of their knowledge of Islam, they also have access to a lot of the knowledge, because many of the games and festivals and celebrations that might happen in the outside world doesn't happen there. So therefore they, you know, have a more solid understanding of the greater picture. And by having this understanding of the hereafter, it changes your perspective. Because even if a person dies, it's not the end. It can actually lead to something else. It's connected to something else. And the more we understand about the journey that we are going on, then we will recognize that we are actually in the beginning of the journey. We're not right near the end, and when a person dies, it's all over. No, we are actually moving along in the first part of it. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in one tradition, said, "Al-kayyis man dana nafsa wa amila lima ba'da al-maut." He said that the intelligent person is the one who controls himself, and he works for life after death. وَالْأَحْمَقْ مَنْ أَطْبَعَ نَفْسَهُ هَوَاهَا وَتَمَنَّ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْأَمَانِ. And the fool is the one who lets himself go. He just follows his desires, and he hopes that Allah will forgive him in the end. He's a fool. So in other words, what this tradition is telling us is that self-control in this world, and actually some of the actions that we do, should be helping us toward the next life, toward the hereafter. Because that is the greater life in terms of time and in terms of our existence itself. And so I want to try to put this in a logical sequence so that we can sort of follow it. And this will help us to have an understanding of where we are going, how we are moving through. And so if we look at our life and we look at the stages in life, we could call them the stages in life. So you have a major event, and that major event leads into a period of life. Okay, so that's how we look at it. So the first major event for the human being is conception. And that is when, by the will of Allah, that life forms in the womb of the mother. And so that leads the person, life begins at that point. And it starts to evolve over a 9-month period or so. And that is what we call the life in the womb. And the life in the womb, for the most part, for the child, it's dark and it is warm and it is wet. That's the existence. Now, the life of that child can be affected or is affected by the mother. So if the mother's relaxed and calm, then the child will also be relaxed and calm. If the mother is upset and going through a lot of changes, then the child can also become very nervous. And you'll see some babies are born that they're sucking their thumb already. So they were looking for comfort even inside the womb because of what they were feeling, you know, from the mother, because the mother is directly connected to the child. And so the life in the womb is a life. And if you were to go inside that womb and interview the child, okay, and say, what is life for you? Then the child would say, it's warm, it's wet, and, you know, I'm relaxed. And if you were to say that after 2 days, you will come out into a world where there are lights, colors, all types of things that are around you, that child would probably say to you, you lie. I do not believe you. How can my life change from this world that I have known ever since the beginning of my existence into something else? How is that possible? And then there's a big event. And that big event is birth, when the child now comes forward. When the child comes out into the world that we call Hayat al-Dunya, the life of this world, now the child starts to develop. After a period of time, sight comes. They start to see, you know, colors, they're hearing, and then eventually tasting and, you know, feeling, and then growing up, and they're in the dunya. And we live in this dunya, we live in this world for a period of time. Some people don't live very long. Some children, unfortunately, are dying in their wombs. And we see it happening in, you know, Gaza. Unfortunately, children, you know, being killed at a very young age. In many parts of the world, starvation is happening. And so some do not live very long. Others may live to 30 years old. Some may live to 60 or 70. Some may live to 100 years old. Recently, a famous person in America, his name was Henry Kissinger. I don't know if any of you ever heard of him before. But he is one of the chief architects of the confusion that you see in the world today. He is one of the main leaders of whatever Illuminati, whatever committee is controlling this world, the bankers. He was their front man. And it was a beautiful statement made by one of the people online. And they were talking about Henry Kissinger. And, you know, the person said, condolence, Henry Kissinger has died. And he said, condolences to the grave that has to house Henry Kissinger. You understand what he said? He's given condolences to the grave. Because that poor grave is going to catch hell based upon what this person did. So this dunya, this is the life of this world. Kissinger lived to 100 years old. That's a long life relative to people here on this earth. But there are parts of the world where people live to be 120 years old. And they say that if you went into the past, you would see that people were living longer. Nuh alayhi salam, the prophet Noah, gave the call to his people for 950 years. So there's a different lifespan. And our lives are getting, in a sense, shorter and shorter. And Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, who died at 63, and he said basically that the lifespan of my nation is about 63 years old. Like, that's our average. So if you live more than 63, you're actually on borrowed time, in a sense. And so the dunya, the life of this world. And some people believe, some cultures believe, that that's it. There's no other life after this. It's over. And if you were to tell them that there is something afterwards, they would say, I don't believe you. Bring me proof. And then there's a big event. And that big event is al-maut. That is death. Okay, so the death then leads to the next form of life that we call al-barzakh. Al-barzakh. And that is, some may translate to say, the life in the grave. But everybody doesn't have a grave, because there are many people who are cremated. Some are blown up. So everybody's not in a grave, but the soul goes into a metaphysical state. It is spiritual and it is physical. Like, this world that we live in is mainly physical and it's partly spiritual. Does anybody know what I mean by that? This life is physical and it's partly spiritual. So try to make a guess. Okay, this is physical now, right? What is the spiritual part of our lives? You could say that when you sleep, you're not in this world, right? Like, you're in another world. And sometimes if you have a dream, you can actually experience something in the past, sometimes what seems to be the future. Many things happen to you, and sometimes you can actually feel it, or you think you feel it. You see, so it's more spiritual, but it's still physical. And sleep is considered to be the minor form of death. So every time we go to sleep at night, for those who are afraid to die, every time you go to sleep, you're dying. Okay, and if you're fortunate, then Allah will allow you to come back. Okay, but when you're asleep and you don't know what's happening, your body's laying there and you don't know what's happening, so that is a type of wafat, a sughra. It is a type of death. It's a minor form of death. The barzakh, that is spiritual. But there is something about it that is also physical. So it's not in this world. It's in another zone altogether. Because our souls It's like our energy force, if I can use that term. The energy force now leaves the body. Where does it go? Even the scientists say that matter cannot be destroyed. Energy cannot be destroyed. Even the top nuclear physicists, they say this. It takes other forms. Okay, so that energy force that we have goes into another realm. Okay, and that realm of existence is the Barzakh. For every action, there's a reaction. And so if the person lived a good life in this world, then the basic reaction is something positive. If they lived negative, evil life, then the reaction is something negative or evil. Okay, I'm putting it in our terms. And that's the life there in the Barzakh zone. Some people will live for thousands of years. But just like when you go to sleep, whether you slept for 1 hour or 6 hours or 8 hours, you go to sleep and then you open your eyes. So similarly, people will be in that sleep-like state, right, for a period of time, and then they will open their eyes, and that is what is called the resurrection, al-ba'ath, the resurrection from death. And that is when people will rise. Everybody will come back and will take on a form. Okay, and so the big event, remember death was an event, led to Barzakh. Resurrection is an event, and it will lead to the Day of Judgment. Okay, so there's going to be a judgment day. And that Day of Judgment is a form of life which will last for a period of time. Okay? The Day of Judgment will eventually climax, and we'll talk about that a little bit tonight, inshallah. It will eventually climax, and then there will be a major crossing over a path called the Sirat, and that will lead people either to hellfire or to paradise. And there, in this final portion of life, where Allah describes this part of life by saying, Khalidina fiha abadan. They will live in this last one forever. So if you added together all the other ones, they would not equal the final one. Okay? And this is why the Prophet ﷺ said, the intelligent person is the one who controls himself and works for hereafter. That's the intelligent person, because that's the real life. So they're working, they're putting something forward towards the life in the hereafter. And that gives you sort of an idea. Now, going back to where we were in our discussion, and the earth is going through all types of changes, there's major fires going on, there's earthquakes, there's major events that are happening. And finally, with the worst possible people left on earth, the believers' souls will be taken away from them by a light wind, and there'll only be the worst people left. And then, as the Quran says in chapter 39, verse 68, and the trumpet will be blown, and all who are in the heavens and all who are on the earth will swoon away, except him whom Allah wills. Then it will be blown a second time. And behold, they will be standing and looking. See this? This huge sound will go. فَصَعِقَ مَنْ فِي الْأَرْضِ. People will now, in a swoon, the ones that are left, illa man sha Allah, except for the what Allah wills. And many scholars say, who would that one that Allah will be? Anybody guess who that might be? Who's the one that, when everybody dies, the last ones, who might Allah, what creature, what being has to still be alive. It's the angel who blows the trumpet, right? Because there's another blowing of the trumpet. The second one. And after that second blowing of the trumpet, that's it. The angel also passes, and then people rise. They will come up. Okay, and that angel is Israfil. Israfil. Remember we had the belief in the angels? So we had different angels, the angel of death, Israel, angel Jibril. So this is Israfil, who was, and the horn, of course, is not a nice saxophone or a clarinet. You know, this is meaning like a huge sound. And we know that sound can be one of the most powerful forces, literally a powerful force. And so it will be blown on Juma, on the Juma day on Friday, it will be blown. And then it is coming up. Now, going to the Quran itself, so you can see what the Quran is saying. And the horn will be blown, and behold, from the graves they will come out quickly to their Lord. They will say, woe to us, who has raised us up from our places of sleep? It will be said to them, this is what the Most Gracious has promised, and the messengers spoke the truth. It will be but a single shout, seha, meaning a sound. So behold, they will all be brought up before us. Okay, so this is to give you an idea. There's a lot of parts of the Quran and things you can study, interesting things about this, but this is how now, this is al-Ba'ath, right? Resurrection. This is al-Ba'ath. This is the big event. And Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, I will be the leader of the children of Adam, alayhi salam, on the day of resurrection. And the first one for whom the grave will be split open. The first one to intercede. And the first one whose intercession will be accepted. And we'll talk about what intercession is. But the first one who will actually come up will be Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessings be upon him. And this is why, you know, we have so much respect for Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, because of the special qualities that he has and the special things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to him. Okay? And the people will then be raised. And Allah said, wherever you will be, Allah will bring you together on the day of resurrection. Surely Allah is able to do all things. Okay? And the Prophet, peace be upon him, said, on the day of resurrection, humanity will be gathered up on earth, gathered on earth that is reddish white, like a fine loaf of bread. So all the souls that are now taken on body forms, right? And the earth is now going to be flattened out, changed, shape of the earth, and there will be a mawqif. There will be a place of the gathering. And so the gathering, and this is the next name, is Al-Hashar. Al-Hashar is the gathering, right? So you have Al-Ba'ath, the resurrection, and then you have the gathering. So this gathering, or this mawqif, the Prophet ﷺ said, you will be gathered barefoot, naked, and uncircumcised. And, you know, Aisha, radiallahu anha, she even said, well, what's going to happen now? Because they had an organic, natural relationship. She asked him anything. So he said, people going to be looking at each other? And so then he said, you're not going to be worried about what somebody else looks like. If there was a huge fire in this room right now, everybody starts running. You don't care about details of anybody else. But there are traditions that say that the prophets, the Siddiqeen, those who are truthful, the Shuhada, those who die martyrs, Salihin, righteous people will be clothed. They will have a form of clothes. Evildoers will be clothed with awful garments. So there's going to be all types of things at this Mokif. And this is a picture of the pilgrimage to Mecca. This is going in between Arafat and Muzdalifah. You can see, if you can see that those people, there's a people there. And they say that this is probably the closest that we can get to feeling like what the Day of Judgment will be. Because everybody, basically, you're not allowed to wear fancy clothes or anything. Men have to wear these two white sheets. Women also have to wear very simple clothing, you know, there. And so this is probably the closest that will be. And everybody there, okay, and moving along. So we're actually getting some sort of preview of the things that will be happening there. So now on this day of resurrection, so now on the Mokif, on this plain, this is now the day of the judgment. And the evildoers, of course, will be in fear and anguish. They will now see the results of their action in this world. Those people in Gaza who are killing innocent children and thinking they're getting away with it, right? And those people who support it, on this day, they're gonna wish that they never did the things that they did. It's gonna be turned around completely. And the life of this world will be a distant memory. A distant memory. And there are even verses that say that this day of judgment will be like 50,000 years. So this is like a long period of time. All kinds of things happening on this day of judgment. And people will be really, really in a bad state. People sweating. Sweating, they say, in some places the sweat will even water. It's coming up. And people in total fear and panic. Okay, except for those who lived a good life, then they will get some of their blessings. And part of being shaheed, part of being a martyr, is that you are saved from the fear of the day of judgment. You will not go through this panic and fear on the day of resurrection. And this is partly, you can see people like the Palestinian people, may Allah make it easy for them, and those who suffer and they're stoic, you know, they're strong in this. Because when you have belief that this is going to come, right, then you know that there's something else, that it's not the end, right, that we're moving towards something else. And on this huge Mokif, there will be a pond. It's called Al-Hawd. Cistern is being used, but it's more like, you could say, like a lake, right? And the liquid in the lake is being fed from a river in paradise called Al-Kawthar. And Al-Kawthar, the liquid is pure white like milk. It is cold as ice, sweet as honey. And if you drink once, then you're never thirsty again. Now just think about this situation people are in. The sun is now close to the earth. People are sweating. People are in terror. But here, believers will meet at Al-Hawd. And the Prophet ﷺ said, a group of my companions, of my ummah, will come to me on the day of resurrection, and they will be pushed away from the cistern. Now, you got this pond, and the Prophet ﷺ is at the pond, and believers are coming. And this is one of the great blessings of being in the last ummah. With all the changes we're going through, there's some major blessings being underneath Prophet Muhammad ﷺ. And they will be going toward him. And it's interesting, and he said, and there will be a group of them they will be pushed away from the haut. And then I will say, O Lord, these are my companions. Think about this. Maybe he can even see. They look, he could tell that these are like a Muslims. And Allah will say, you have no knowledge of what they did after you were gone. They became apostate and turned on their heels. And this is a deep one. Because just by the fact that a person is a Muslim, they have a Muslim name, or they come from a Muslim country, does not mean they are saved. We do not believe in this special race of people who are saved, no matter what. So this is interesting because these are people who will come to the Prophet, and then it's like in some hadith it says like a barrier comes in between them, and they're trying to get through, and they can't get through. Right? So these are people who thought, well, my name is Zainab, or my name is Zaid. I got a long beard. Right? Even though he was a hypocrite and he punished people, or she was a liar, or they tortured children, or they were like, you know, buffoon hypocrites like some of the leaders in the Muslim countries now, who will not come to the assistance of the Palestinian people. It doesn't matter. On this day of judgment, they're not going to get into the haut. And so this is a very interesting point for those who think that just by the fact that they're Muslim, that's enough. And that's important for new Muslims too, to understand what is Islam. You need to understand, that's why we were going over these principles of faith. So you have the greater picture of things yourself, right? So you won't follow somebody who might appear to be a Muslim, but they're actually taking you astray. So you judge the truth by the truth and not by the people, right? So the people are not the truth. The truth is the truth. So you need to know what the revelation is saying. So on this occasion, this long period, people are crying out. And there's a long hadith, there's a long saying where the people will go to Adam. The prophets are there too. And the people will go to Adam and say, Adam, you're the first prophet, you're the first man. Like, do something. Get us out of this situation that we are in. And then Adam will say, I can't do it because I ate from the tree. Like, I made a mistake. I made a big mistake. Go to somebody else. So they will go to Noah, Prophet Noah, and say, you are a great prophet. Get us out of this. And he will say in words, I can't. Because I was so hard on my people, I'm not the one. And they will go to the different prophets, and they will all say, you need to go to somebody else, until they come to Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he will say, Ana laha, I am the one. This is for me. And then he will make a prostration. This is not, this is just to give you a visual. He will make a prostration, which is considered to be the greatest prostration in the history of humanity. This one right here. No other prostration to Allah is greater than this. And he will make this prostration in order to get the judgment on. So he's interceding for humanity to say, okay, let's stop this and get the judgment on so we can some go to paradise, some go to hell, whatever it is. Everybody wants to get out of this situation because it's so bad. And when we hear their call to prayer, you'll hear some Muslims reading a prayer where you're saying, Allahumma rabbi hadhihi ad-da'wati at-tamma wa salat al-qa'imah. You're saying, oh Allah, the Lord of this complete call and you know, this coming prayer, Ati Muhammadan al-Wasila wal-Fadila. Give him the means, give him preference. Wa ba'athu maqaman mahmuda alladhi wa'adta. innaka la tukhli fumiya. Give him that ability. Give him that shafa'ah. It's called shafa'ah. Give him the intercession. So we're asking Allah, every time we hear the adhan, to give him this. Because he's the one that will have this. Okay, and so this is the greatest prostration in history. And once this is done, judgment comes. And traditions show that people will literally see books coming. People will now, your judgment's going to come. And everybody will now see their whole life. It's going to be in front of you. It may not be book as we have in this form. I've just given you a picture of what we call a book. But everybody's going to have their own video, your own movie, right? You're the star of the movie. It's your life from the beginning to the end. You're going to see everything. Okay? Karaman katibi. Remember the angels that were writing on your shoulders? Okay, so though that information stored for your good deeds and bad deeds all your life will now come out on this time. And the Prophet ﷺ said, all creatures' rights will be restored to them on the day of resurrection to such an extent that the hornless sheep will settle its scores with the horned sheep. Everything is going to be set straight. So this is a lot of things to be happening. All evil injustices going. That's why that brother said condolences to Henry Kissinger's grave. Because what he did and the effects of what he did, it's unbelievable. We don't judge people, but from what we can see, unless he made some serious repentance before his death, and it doesn't appear that he did, there's a lot of scores to be settled. And so this is the time when the scores will be settled on that day of resurrection. And then there will be the mizan. And as the Quran says, and we shall set up balances of justice on the day of resurrection. Then none will be dealt with unjustly in anything. And if there be a weight of the mustard seed, we will bring it. And sufficient are we to take account. Everything you do is going to be weighed. Okay? Everything. This is very interesting because one of the most important parts of the weighing of a person is your intentions. It's your intentions. Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Innama al-a'malu bin-niyyat." Your deeds are based on your intentions. And everybody will get exactly what they intend. So your intentions are really critical. You know what I found? This is an interesting thing for me because I was studying African history at a time when there's a group of people called Afrocentrics, and they were going back into the history of ancient Egypt. And we knew from our study of Islam that prophets came before. So obviously prophets came to ancient Egypt. So I was traveling up the Nile in a temple called to a queen called Hatshepsut. She was the only one of the most famous female pharaoh of Egypt. This is long before the pharaoh of Moses. And I was in her temple. It's like an underground passage to where she was buried. And there was reliefs, hieroglyphics, and writings on the wall. And then there was scales. And it said that when a person died, because remember, this knowledge now didn't begin with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What the Quran did was bring together all the knowledge. So the prophets who came before had forms of this knowledge. The ancient Egyptians, who lived for thousands of years. And so this one relief had scales, and it had on one side a feather, and on the other scale it had the heart of the person weighing. And it said, if your heart is heavier than the feather in sin, then you're going to hellfire. And that was interesting because Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he said, the place of your intention is your heart. This is in our traditions. So he said, first, your deeds will be based on your intentions, right? And the place, next hadith, the place of your intention is your heart. So the ancient Egyptians were on this. They had some sort of prophet or somebody who gave them this information, that that heart is key, your intentions are key to your success in the next life. So that is the mizan, okay? And that is the scales, and from here, judgment will come. Now, there's a lot of other information. I'm giving you an overview there. But major judgment will come, and the people will now be pushed to what is called the Sirat. The Sirat. And every nation will follow what they worshipped. All your false gods, everybody is going to, you're in darkness, and you're going to be following along with whatever gods that you have. And the disbelievers are going to be driven straight into hellfire. There's a huge hellfire that is there. Above this fire is what is called the Sirat. The Sirat is a path. It's a bridge over Jahannam. Jahannam is the name for hell. And the Quran says, there is not one of you but will pass over it, meaning hell. This is with your Lord, a decree which must come to pass. You've got to go over this. This Sirat. Sirat is very, very thin, and people will be moving over this Sirat. You know, like a tightrope walker? And they spread the tightrope and they're walking like this. So you're going to be moving on it. If the person is, you know, guided, if you're a shaheed, the prophets, the people who died for Allah, right across. Okay? Now, there's the people of the book. So they have some truth and they have falsehood. Okay, so and you're going to have hypocrites. Hypocrites, you're Muslim one day and you're something else another day. So you move a little bit and you're stuck. So all of this is subject to the deeds of the people. But when they fall off, and this is an artist's conception of a Sirat, when they fall off this path, they're going down into hellfire. And the believers will be given a light and follow the guidance of Allah. Okay? And Allah has revealed in the Quran, it says, O you who believe, save yourselves and your families from a fire whose fuel is people and stones, over which are angels stern and severe. They never disobey the commandments of Allah, but do precisely what they are commanded. They will not disobey. So this is there. So people are going across the Sirat, and the prophets will be saying, Allahumma sallim, O Allah, save us in this, get us across. And another interesting point, for those who think that they're Muslim and they're straight and everything, the prophet said, when the believers have been saved from the fire, they will be detained at a bridge between paradise and hell, where they will settle any scores that existed among them in this world. Then when they have been purified, they will be granted permission to enter paradise. By the one in whose hand is the soul of Muhammad, any one of them will be more familiar with his dwelling in paradise than he was with his house in this world. So whatever scores you got in between you, I didn't like these people, this masjid, this school of thought, you got to settle all your scores. Now, where do you go? If you didn't go down, then paradise. And this is what we call Al-Jannah. And Allah said in the Quran, Allah promised to believers, men and women, gardens under which rivers flow, to dwell therein forever, and beautiful mansions in gardens of everlasting bliss. But the greatest bliss is the pleasure of Allah. That is the supreme success. So this is the paradise. Okay? And this is when the people are moving toward it. And Jannah will be filled with unimaginable delights. As the Quran said, and when you look there in paradise, you will see a delight that cannot be imagined. A great dominion. There will be taste nobody ever tasted, sights nobody ever saw. And this is something, as we go along in our study of Islam, you'll study more and more about Jahannam and Jannah. Tonight we want to get overview, general overview of what this is. And Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no one of you will enter paradise by his deeds alone. And they asked, not even you, O Messenger of Allah, he said, not even me, unless Allah covers me with his grace and mercy. So we are all dependent upon Allah's grace and mercy. Okay? And the final prayer of the believers for paradise will be, Da'wahum fiha, glory be to Allah, O Allah. And their greeting will be, Wa tahiyatuhum fiha salam, wa akhira da'wahum, and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Glory be to you, O Allah. And their greeting therein will be peace. And the conclusion of their prayer will be, all praises be to Allah, Lord of all the worlds. That'll be the greatest pleasure. And the greatest pleasure of the believers in paradise is not physical things. It'll be to actually come into the presence of Allah. That is the highest reward that anybody can possibly gain. So this is the overview of Yawm al-Akhir, the hereafter. And it's part of the personality of a Muslim. This is part of the reason why Muslims are able to be stoic, hold the line, right? Because we know that there is a greater world that's tied to this world. It's really the actual world, that this, to a great extent, is an illusion. Pain will be here for a moment, and then it will turn to something else. So I want to open up the floor for any general questions that anybody has concerning Yawm al-Akhir and the final days. Floor is open for any general questions. Yeah. Right, so it'll be darkness, and then the believers will be given like a light to go across. It's really not the people's tight walking skills. It's your deeds that's carrying you across. It's actually your deeds. So if the person's a hypocrite, they go a little bit and then they go back. And that light, so really, you know, this is, everything is tied, you know, to our intentions and our deeds, you know, in this world.
All right. I've got a question between the difference in like us being in this world, like fully clothed and men having to be circumcised, and then on the day of judgment, like the total opposite. Like, is there any understanding as to why that may be?
About circumcision?
No, not that alone. And like being barely clothed on the day of judgment.
Yeah, I mean, again, this is traumatic times. Yeah. So this is the whole way that we think in terms of our relationship. It's totally changed. It's completely changed on that time because of the trauma that everybody is going through. So it's not similar to now. People are not even thinking in the way that we think today. So it's a completely different situation. But when you come out of your grave, you come out as you were born. You don't come out with a three-piece suit or a wedding gown. No, you come out the way you were born. And some will be blessed with some clothing, you know, because of their deeds. But nobody's going to be looking. That's what Aisha is saying. What's going to happen? He said, like, nobody, the Prophet said, no, everybody's going to be concerned with themselves. Nobody's concerned with anything else at that time. Any questions online that anybody has? So alhamdulillah, we're going to close this class, you know, tonight and then go on. And next week, inshallah, we will be looking at a very important topic, and that is qadr, qada and qadr, and that is the will of Allah. Because that's something a lot of people get confused about too. You know, what is the will of Allah? What is my will? And whatnot. So we want to look at that, inshallah, next week in the next class. Okay? So have a safe journey home for those who are online. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.